We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Monday edition, Fesco in the morning, along with Bob Fesco. I'm Josh Klingler, Ryan Witkowski producing as always.
Hello.
Now, not all's great in Charger land, by the way.
Oh, what happened?
Desmond King, their punt returner slash defensive back, tweeted out yesterday. I'll continue to do my job, but I'm going to need answers real soon.
What does he mean by that?
I don't know. What? But I mean, that's the passive aggressive athlete right now, right?
Yeah, I guess
throw it
is.
Out there on social media and leave it for all to decipher. Yep. Seems like you should talk to your coach.
That's the world today, though.
Would be my guess. Talk to your coach.
I'll continue to do my job. I'm looking through my notes yesterday.
Good, because you're supposed to do your job, but I'm going to need some answers real soon. Or are you now?
Oh, are you? Answers as to what? What do you need answers to, mister?
Why you're the third corner?
Sounds like somebody's got some splaining to do.
I don't know. I'm just going to continue to do my job.
It wasn't Tyrod Taylor tweeting that. It was Desmond King. So,
what answers does Desmond King possibly need on a Monday morning?
I don't know.
I mean, anybody? Like grand questions, maybe?
Why he's not a
bigger, meaning of life, stuff like that?
Impact on their defense? I don't know.
If you could get the answer to one question, what would it be?
Yeah, I can't say that on the air.
Surprisingly enough, normally I know where Ryan's going, and I'm trying to like.
I have no idea either. I am too. Yeah,
but he censored himself, so I know it's way over the line.
Correct.
So it's good. Probably good that he stopped.
Right? I'm growing up. I'm maturing. Maybe when I'm 40, I'll finally get a man.
If it's close to the line, Ryan's.
He's over it.
Yeah
he's jumping
even,
through
it's
it.
It's not even a question.
And then jumping through it again and then making
Ryan
sure
goes,
you didn't miss it.
Whoa. I can't even imagine how far over that line it was.
Remember that time they were talking about Frank Clark getting off and you guys wouldn't bite on that? That was upsetting.
What would be your question, Josh, if you could have the answer to any question?
Boy. It's a good question, Bob.
It is, yes. Because I don't know what my answer would be. I'm asking you guys because I have no idea what my if you could like meet a genie or whatever it was and they would give you the answer to anything.
I don't think genies do the answer things. I think they do like the wishes.
Is my $1 million idea going to come? I think I would. I'd really want to know.
What
that.
Is your $1 million
I don't
idea?
Know, whatever it is.
Oh, your wishes.
No, is
no,
the answer
is no.
Pick a different question.
Just is it? So I can stop. What a
waste. What a waste of a question.
Stop waiting for it.
You could find the answer to anything. You're like, will my $1 million idea ever come? No.
Then I want the genie to say yes, and I'm like, okay, cool.
I feel like once Pringle shot me down for my $1 million idea, it was done.
Yeah, it was over.
I told them they should perforate the can in the middle so that way I can rip it in half when I get halfway through and be able to put my hand still in there and not have to fish around.
Not
like a
terrible
brilliant idea.
I thought it was a brilliant idea. You could put another ring around it, that way you can still use the lid.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody steal that, by the way. I did submit a letter to Pringles. I don't know how far that got up the chain.
Has everybody submitted?
What would yours be?
I don't know. That's what I said. Maybe why the Falcons didn't recover that onside kick.
So mine was stupid, but you don't have one. So
Well, there's a lot of different things.
It's stupid now, Bob.
Josh, you. Falcons for not picking up the onside kick.
We're just getting mean now.
Chargers for not going for it on 2 fourth down opportunities.
Fridays at 9, we do a little Chiefs win if. We tell you how the Chiefs are going to win. And then,
that's right.
And then Monday we dissect how terrible we were at this.
Who let the dogs out of Chiefs?
That's a great question. Love it. Was that from the text line?
That was.
That's fantastic.
Finally,
did OJ do it?
Yeah.
Come on.
I don't need that answer because it's usually me that lets the dogs out at our house. So I don't feel like I need that answer personally. But
have you told this information to the Baja men?
I'm not.
They've been trying to figure that out.
Find
for years.
A Baja man right about now. Chiefs win if brought to you by Olathe Ford Lincoln. I said the Chiefs would win if Chris Jones got two or more sacks.
That did not work for you.
That didn't.
I thought he was. I thought they were really going to have a day against the offensive line of the Chargers.
Yeah, especially when missed tackles as the stat. That would have been
when you saw better. The guy with a mullet and a mustache.
Yes, that did throw me off. Yeah. The Pro Reference picture of that Dan Feeney guy that was playing center. I'm like, super gotta crush pedo. This guy. He looks
but
dangerous.
Did you see him at the end of the game walking off the field too? Did you guys stick around long enough for where they were walking off the field and the game is over? It is incredibly creepy. If you could go back and
he's
watch
got
the
a
end of the game.
Look, I thought Chris Jones is going to just destroy this guy.
Stay that guy away from definitely that guy. Can't pass out Halloween.
No
sacks for one Chris Jones. Fesco, you said the Chiefs would win if they scored 30 or more.
That's right. They did not score 30 or more.
I mean, I guess they could have. Yeah. They would have won had they scored 30 or more.
Would have been a go-away win had they done
that. Andy Reid is so good in 30-point games.
Yeah.
Ryan said Chiefs win if they got one pick.
Continue on, though.
No, yeah, don't.
You ding yourself. They got a pick.
You know, continue on.
I'm just mad because I was right.
And Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, how stupid were you thinking Tyrod Taylor was going to play?
Duh. So now you have to amend the stat. Tyrod Taylor was 4-13-1 when he throws one or more interceptions. Justin Herbert now 0-1 when he throws one or more interceptions.
That's right.
Suck at a bear. So.
Yeah. You thought Tyrod Taylor was going to start. How dumb are you?
Huh. Why don't we do Bob's next Chief win if?
Chiefs win if they have a halftime lead.
They didn't. They still won.
Yeah. Down 14-6 at the break.
Yep.
But they could have still won had they had it.
Had they had that lead, they probably would have won going away.
I had Chiefs win if Clyde Edwards-Helaire goes 150 all-purpose yards.
Nope.
He had 70. 70. So it wasn't quite his day yesterday. Chargers did a good job defensively. And I thought, hey, I wasn't expecting that close a game. I know Ryan, the big AFC West backer, thought it was going to be a closer game. I'll credit the Chargers. I thought they played great yesterday. I came out of that game.
They played great yesterday and still lost the game.
That game with a lot of respect for the Chargers. I think they did a lot of things right.
That's what the Chargers do.
And you still couldn't win the game.
Right. Couldn't win the game. You played your best. May not play a game to that level all year.
Yeah.
And you still got beat.
And you had the element of surprise with your quarterback and all those things that factored in.
Right.
You couldn't win.
That is a demoralizing, demoralizing loss.
Playing in front of your digital home crowd for the first time.
That's right.
Too.
That's exactly
Which
right.
Which was probably louder than an actual home crowd.
Right.
You didn't have to deal with the.
I think the Chargers were overwhelmed by the fans yesterday.
You didn't have to deal with the Chiefs fans.
Yeah.
Cheering the whole time.
Well, there was that one guy on the kick.
That's true. That guy. I think that was someone on the Chiefs sideline.
I'm pretty sure it was.
Let me figure out who that was. So that is Chiefs win if our exercise to point out how bad we are at this, apparently. No hesitation at all from the head coach. We'll discuss next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Red Monday brought to you by Comcast. Chiefs victorious, beating the Chargers in L.A. 23-20 in overtime. Among the heroes, Harrison Butker, who kicks not one but two 58-yard field goals in the game, both of which tied the all-time franchise mark for longest field goal by the Chiefs.
Was that a stat like we all knew going into the day?
I don't know how much I contributed to the broadcast yesterday, but I found Mitch that stat, so I feel like I was pretty good.
Oh, wow.
Good for you. I dug through the notes and found.
Look at you, Rook.
That's
showing
all,
up like that, Justin Herbert.
If I did nothing else, I got him that.
That's good.
It might have been it. That might have been it, but I did find that stat. But yes, I did not know going in that Nick Lowry had twice kicked 58.
Like, we all definitively knew Balboni's number going into.
Yeah, we all knew that. Well, that was something. Well, I guess Lowry's has gone on forever too, though, right? Yeah, since the 80s.
Yeah.
Since before Balboni, right? Yeah. When it was 83 when he did that?
Sure.
I thought that's what somebody said, like 83.
It was right,
the Nick Lowry's long.
Yeah, 85 and 83.
Yeah.
He kicked 58 yarders twice. Yes.
So, yeah, it's a record that has been on the books since longer than Balboni.
I don't feel like we care about that.
You don't care about records in the NFL. Nobody cares.
No.
But in baseball, God forbid somebody
Like, legitimately, and we love the Chiefs. We follow the Chiefs. Like, legitimately, how many records do you know of?
I don't know of any. Maybe Priest Holmes touchdowns in a season.
What about passing touchdowns in a season?
Yeah, Mahomes.
I got that 50. One.
Yeah, that's about it, right?
Right.
That's as far as it goes. Like, who's the all-time, you know, we know Derek Johnson's the all-time tackle leader.
Right.
And there's some
discrepancy over how many tackles.
Combined or solo.
Correct. Right. Correct. But no, if football's not quite that, which is weird.
Who has the most sacks in Chiefs history in a career?
Your mom.
Check the Chiefs record book. Yes, that's correct.
That's correct.
Your mom at the top.
Do you know who it is? Are you 100% sure it's Derek Thomas?
No.
I'm not either.
No.
Could be like a Buck Buchanan or a Willie Lanier.
Well, they weren't when they start keeping track of sacks.
Oh, that's true. They didn't start keeping him until 82. Those sack
things are weird because it's like.
That's right. You're
like,
right. That's fair.
It's like
late. I guess it scratches your mom off.
But it's the late to the party sack.
Yeah, no, it's 1982 because Lawrence Taylor's first year
Derek
in the
Thomas
NFL was 81. And they didn't keep stats on sacks his first year in the NFL. It started his second year in the NFL. So, yeah. So
Derek Thomas has 126.5 sacks. Tamba Hali, number two on the list, 89.5.
Wow. That's a huge difference right there. My goodness.
We call that the Ricky Henderson.
I say nobody knows those except for Mitch. Mitch does know that. And he did know the 58-yarder. I just gave him the date. I mean, he knew it. So, yes.
That's his job.
But he's... He's like encyclopedia. I mean, he's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like his in-depth knowledge of that.
Just like, a disgusted Bob voice. Oh, good for doing your job.
It's his job.
Well, I mean, he's been calling games for almost 30 years now.
I would think
at some point he picked up a nugget or two.
I'm just saying, each and every day I feel like I don't remember what yesterday had.
No, you have no memory.
And he's like, yeah, it was 58 yards, right? And he's looking for analysis. And all of us are going, I don't know. Let me look it up for you, Mitch.
Yeah.
You know? He's pretty much got it. And you just had to validate it for him. Oh, yeah, it was Nick Lowry.
That's right. Nick Lowry did it against the Canton Steamrollers back in, you know.
It wasn't quite there yet. Uh-huh.
The Canton Steamrollers?
It was
the Providence Steamrollers. It was the Canton Bulldogs, the Providence Steamrollers.
Oh, was it Cleveland?
No, it was not.
Huh. So butt kicker has a couple long field goals, and what was maybe most impressive was that he kicked three times before to get the game winner.
Yeah, you don't do that. I got a text message from a friend of mine whose son was a kicker, and he goes, "Yeah, as a kicker's father, you're sitting there and you're watching that, and you're nervous." He goes, "But you don't see that happen where a guy kicks three straight field goals just like Butker did. Usually, you fail on one of those attempts, but Butker was just straight through on every single one of them, and his performance yesterday." Is just more proof to say that this guy is well on his way to getting that gold jacket and becoming a Pro Football Hall of Famer for the way that he kicks.
It is funny because you get very limited opportunities, right, as a kicker.
Yeah.
So you think,
and
oh,
you never
wow.
talk about a kicker unless they're miserable,
right.
Too.
So I got to kick it three times. That was that was cool. I got to kick it three times. I don't kick all the time. I got to kick three times in that one play. I mean, wow, that was cool. No, Butker was mad.
I think every kicker is different. I definitely felt more confident. The 53-yarder, I didn't like the way it kind of curved left. I made an adjustment with Tommy as far as our aiming point. We aimed farther right for the 58-yarder, but a 58-yarder is a longer kick. I swung a little harder, and that one kind of hugged the left upright. And then for that last kick, I had the same aiming point, and I think I just slowed down my leg swing a little bit and hit a better rotating ball and a better ball, and I thought it went down pretty much the middle.
You gave him three opportunities.
Third time's a charm,
yeah,
right?
Don't think he drilled them all. He just, like, fine-tuned it on the third one.
I just got a little bit more angry every kick. So the first one, I thought they called timeout, and then I realized it was a false start. But going into the second one, they called timeout again. So in my head, that's two timeouts. And then I think I even looked at the Chargers sideline because I was like, come on, man, I'm trying to finish this game and get back to Kansas City. So that third one I felt like was my best kick. And, I mean, to have two practice kicks before that is only going to help you. And I'm just really happy that we were able to stay through from the blocked extra point. You know, we have a great field goal unit, James Winchester and Tommy holding the ball, and we were able to put it through. But that's stuff that we do in practice, and we were able to transfer it over to the game.
Don't make him angry.
Yeah, you wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
He's just going to kick it further and further and further.
And then him walking off the field after he kicked the field goal through.
That was a walk-off.
It legitimately was. I saw like a picture-in-picture type of thing of him kicking it off, and then the opposite angle of the field camera – as soon as he kicked it, he was gone. He knew right away he kicked it through.
He couldn't have done it better had he taken his leg off and like leg flipped it.
Yeah. He absolutely leg flipped that thing yesterday. Yeah, there was no question that was a leg flip.
And he could have made it from, you know.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, he could have made it from anywhere.
I made the 70-yarder at halftime. I told Coach Tobe that, so he was feeling confident. So I'd say if it was on the, you know, what, the 52-yard line, or the 48-yard line, that'd be a 70-yard field goal. I would have felt good making that kick. You know, I don't know if Coach Reed would have let me, but if it was the end-of-the-game situation, a long fourth down, I would have felt confident going into that.
The TV is going to have that, you know, field goal range line backed up for him apparently now.
Yeah, but they said yesterday if they got to the 40, they felt comfortable with him kicking that field goal. And so that's where they got. They got to the 40-yard line yesterday, and that gives you that 58-yard field goal. And when you're having a day offensively like the Chiefs were having yesterday, where it wasn't as crisp and as good as we're normally used to, the fact that you have a weapon like this in your back pocket that says, all right, we just need to get to the 40-yard line. If we can do that, we're going to put some points on the scoreboard. He saved the day yesterday for the Chiefs. He was great.
So had the 53-yarder penalty, then had to kick it again. Was there any hesitation from Andy Reid that, you know, 58, you gonna try that again?
No, not at all. I had full trust in them. I wanted to make sure the protection was right. They did a good job of kind of overloading, and I just want to make sure our protection was good. The guys tightened it up. We had the one extra point block there, so it was good. Good to get that taken care of.
Yeah, it was good. No problem. Got that taken care of.
Why would you? I mean, why would you have a problem with that? Nope, let it go, man.
It's pretty ridiculously automatic.
You know, stuff happens over the course of a game, and the good teams obviously prepare for everything, including that situation right there. That pushed them back to the exact line where they knew where they would be comfortable in making it from. Oh, we're at the 40. Well, we planned all game for this, so we know we're good from the 40. Get in there and go. Perfect. It worked out. Had it been the 42, 43, there may have been some question, but they knew from the 40 in they were going to be fine with Harrison Butker.
913-576-7610. If you know the play of the game they gave you on the postgame show last night, this would be Binkley. You probably have a giant clue just from our last segment. But if you know a player involved in the play of the game, you can win yourself some Topper's Pizza. And we'll talk with our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
All right, it is time for the Mazarese Jewelry Play of the Game, brought to you by Mazarese Jewelry. Four generations of distinctive jewelry. Bink gave you a play of the game on the postgame show yesterday. You tell us who was involved in that play, and you'll get $25 to Topper's Pizza. Each winner also will be qualified for the grand prize of a $500 gift card to Mazarese Jewelry at the end of the month.
Jared and KCK, today's contestant. Jared, tell us a player involved in the play of the game Bink gave you.
I'm going to guess Harrison Butker.
That's probably a pretty good guess.
Butker will try this again. A 58-yard attempt. He's had plenty of leg on the first two attempts. Butker's kick is up. He lines it up. The kick is long enough. It is good! Harrison Butker, money, 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 penalty. Try to freeze him. He thaws the Chargers with a 23-20 walk-off 58-yard field goal, tying a Chiefs record. His own record that he tied earlier in the game. At 2 minutes to go in the overtime, the Chiefs go to 2-0, and continue their dominance over the AFC West.
Take that, AFC West. Mitch Holtis on the call.
Thought you were getting an easy 106.5 loss yesterday, didn't you, Ryan?
That was easy? That was an easy one?
You thought you were going to already have one of the five losses.
Let me guess,
losses.
You're going to play the anti-chiefer.
Because you know what
here.
You are?
An anti-chiefer.
Jared KCK, he's a winner. He was listening to Bank last night.
How do I even give you these tools?
And knows that Harrison Butker was involved in the play of the game, and he wins himself some Topper's Pizza.
A couple anti-chiefers yesterday.
That.
Chris Collinsworth. I'm sure there'll be some today. I saw some people on ESPN this morning. I can't wait to get home and go back and watch Get Up, the who's the best team in the AFC. I can't wait to see how many people didn't say the Chiefs. They'll make the list tomorrow.
Well, the week is just starting, and they have the Ravens next Monday.
That's
so there's
right.
Gonna be plenty
of, there'll be plenty of anti-Chiefers.
There's going to be plenty for your list. I hate to even give you the heads up.
The list is going to be so good.
Time to chat with our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, as he drops on by the Royals heading into their final homestand of the year as they resume with the Cardinals. Beginning, it doesn't feel the same, does it?
This really doesn't.
Eat it, Ryan.
The fanless stadium playing the Cardinals. Good morning, Vern.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
And we're doing great, my man. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Fesco, you did just become the first person ever to say, I can't wait to get home and watch Get Up.
Yeah, maybe so.
It's probably true. You're probably that's right
really,
about
that. Really
that
feels like that's, piling on that, there.
That's really good, though, Vern. No, I agree.
The kicker winning the game yesterday, Vern, I feel like is having that reliable closer. Like, if you have it, you have it. And, boy, you're in great shape. And if you don't, you're, like, endlessly searching for it.
Man, that's why you're the best, Kling. 100% segue, right. Yeah, that was wonderful. 100% right, and I think a lot of Royals fans right now have way too much confidence in the bullpen for 2021 because of the bullpen in 2020 has been fantastic. Greg Holland has been great this season, but this has also been a 60-game sprint. If we were playing 162, I do not think that Greg Holland would be able to keep this up over the course of the second half of the season. We've seen Scott Barlow fall on hard times of late. We've still yet to watch Josh Staumont put consistent efforts on back-to-backs together. He's great on Monday, but when you run him back out there on Tuesday, we begin to see his stuff dip somewhat. The year-to-year carryover when it comes to a bullpen is basically non-existent. The thing that should give Royals fans solace about the bullpen next season would be Dayton Moore's ability to find the Greg Hollins, Wade Davis possibly, as he was DFA'd earlier in the week by the Colorado Rockies. Also, take into account the fact that there are no fans in the stands. So the guys that we've seen make the big jumps this year, the Barlows, the Staumonts, Zubers, and Jesse Hans, when they're pitching in front of 20, 25, 30,000 fans next year, that's a different kind of pressure that they haven't had to fight through this year. So the rotation I feel really good about when we open things up in spring training, but the bullpen's going to be the coin flip that it is every year when you arrive in Arizona.
I think Fesco and I both hit the brakes at the same time. I don't hate a Wade Davis ring.
I don't either.
I don't even know he's pitching. But he got, obviously he wasn't pitching well enough.
It doesn't matter, right?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I'm like, I don't hate that.
No, and call up Kelvin, too. See what he's up to. Let's get the whole gang back together.
You might as well, right? I mean, how bad, though, has Wade Davis been since he went to Colorado, though, Vern? I mean, like, he went out there and just, like, fell apart, didn't he?
Colorado, I don't think they understand how to use relievers because they did the same thing to Greg Holland. They ran him in the ground, threw him out there every single night in his first year, and he's never been the same. Wade Davis saved 43 games in his first year with Colorado, and then it was all downhill. This year, he's recorded 13 outs and given up 10 runs. He's been hurt a majority of the season. But, yeah, there's something about Cal Eldred and the pitching culture with the Kansas City Royals that they can tap into what other organizations can't. We're seeing it with Jesse Hahn. We've seen the rebirth of so many relievers over the past half decade. Without question, if he wants to, Wade Davis has a spring training invite.
It's just cool. I don't want Soria. Is that
no,
we're
no, no,
okay.
No,
right,
God, no,
God, no, no.
I mean, I'm all for the like the reunion stuff or whatever.
Not him. He's not invited.
I don't need to see that one again. Okay,
yeah,
good,
he is not right. allowed. Even if he's gonna, even if he's bringing all the beer, he is not invited to this thing.
Sorry, Jack.
Yeah, you're not allowed, sir. Got a guy at the door with bouncer saying you're not allowed. What are we keeping an eye on over the final week of the season?
So many of the position battles and the unproven hitters in this lineup, I think we have our answer. I think we have our answer when it comes to Bubba Starling and Ryan O'Hearn and Ryan McBroom. There's a few guys that I think we have to wait until a full 162 before we get the next step of evaluation. Adalberto Mondesi, Edward Olivares, Nicky Lopez, the starting pitchers. We need to see them over the course of 162 starting next year. But for this final week, Mikey Franco jumps out to me because this is a guy that if he comes back next year, if you tender him a contract, you're going to end up paying him through arbitration more than $3 million. Yes, he's banged up right now, but I think he needs to have a good week to put that thought in the mind of Dayton Moore and Mike Matheny going into the offseason, because he's been good this year, but has he been $3 million, $3, $4 million good next year for a team that's likely at the tail end of the rebuild? Or do you have Kelvin Gutierrez maybe grab that spot early on only to be supplanted by Bobby Witt Jr. at some point in the 2021 season? And then the health of Salvador Perez and Jorge Soler. You need Soler back to show the rest of Major League Baseball that he's right, so you could possibly move him if you want. And then Salvi, if he can stay right this final week, and there's no reason to believe that he won't, I think he's put himself in line to possibly receive a new 3-4 year offer from the Royals this offseason. So Franco, Perez, and Soler over the final 7 games, I think they're the ones that will dominate the attention and the conversations of Dayton Moore and the rest of the front office. I mean, the young starting pitchers are always priority number one, their health, their progression, their performance. But as far as building this team for 2021, Mikey Franco, Salvador Perez, and Jorge Soler will be the three bats I'll be watching.
Is it hard for them to cut ties with Bubba after this season because of the local, being the local kid?
Well, cut ties meaning he's off the 40-man roster. I think he could still end up coming back in spring training and being a non-roster invite. He could still be in this organization. I would be curious to see if there's another team in baseball that would be willing to give him a 40-man spot, because the speed and the defense are elite. The bat is just yet to show up on a consistent basis, albeit he's not getting a ton of consistent at-bats, but baseball's not fair. Life isn't fair. You got to seize the opportunity. Bubba's yet to do that. I think he can still remain within the organization. But to answer your question, no, I don't think that will be difficult for the Royals to cut ties with Bubba.
Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, joining us. He mentioned Franco. Would a decision on him have any weight as to what they think, how far along Bobby Witt Jr. is?
Yeah, no question. Man, it doesn't matter who you talk with. Whenever you bring up the name Bobby Witt Jr., and you guys have likely run into this, the individual on the other side of the phone always laughs. That's always their first reaction, is laughing, because it's so ridiculous that this kid, who in every single practice during summer camp did something to stand out, did something to say, I'm the best player on the field, or I'm going to be the best player on the field in the near future. According to Alex Zumwalt, the Royals' director of hitting performance, he's continued that over at the alternate site. Mike Matheny says this guy is humbling big league pitchers on a daily basis over at T-Bones Park. Guys that are coming over there to get work in, a Jacob Junis, a Randy Rosario, a Richard Lovelady, guys that have gotten it done at the big league level. Bobby Witt Jr. is just spraying it to all fields. The guy is performing as if he's already in the big leagues. Dayton Moore yesterday on the Dayton Moore Show raving about Bobby Witt Jr. If Mikey Franco comes back next season. I won't say it's impossible for Bobby Witt Jr. to make his big league debut, but if he doesn't come back, if Mikey Franco is not the third baseman on opening day, I would more than expect to see Bobby Witt Jr. Standing there at third base come late July, early August, because I understand this is an organization that tries to pump the brakes, that tries to lower expectations and overproduce. They can't lower the expectations. They're all blown away with the talent that Bobby Witt Jr. has.
Bob's glowing right now. He's just picturing Bobby Witt standing over there at third base.
But it looks very nice in the uniform. Why not just do it on opening day, though, Vern? Like, why go through this whole thing?
I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility, to be quite honest. If he continues on the trajectory that he's currently on, this isn't an organization, as we saw with Brady Singer. This isn't an organization that's going to manipulate service time. They're going to do what's best for the guys on the field and within the organization. And if Bobby does what I think we're all expecting him to do, I don't think it's crazy to imagine him on that opening day roster.
Vern, thanks for the time. We'll be listening.
All right, thanks, guys.
Josh Vern, you're our Royals insider. Final week of the season, all at home, beginning tonight with the Cardinals. Carlos Hernandez, Adam Wainwright, the pitching matchup tonight, 7:05 here on 610 Sports Radio. And Vern has your pregame tonight at 6. A former Chief loves how the current Chiefs did it. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Is this the marching band?
It is not. That was a terrific marching band. You know I love a good
little,
pep band. A
little bit of breaking news this morning. On 610 Sports Radio, powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by Pennzoil. Motor
I feel
oils
like this
made
has been...
from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil.
I feel like this has been a story, though, for a while now.
Well, but it's been denied and denied. And maybe
I didn't
protest
know that.
Too much.
Oh.
Nothing to see here. A lot of
right.
Nothing to see here.
Deion Sanders is the new football coach at Jackson State.
What? Congratulations!
Is this in the news?
Yes. Where is that located?
They had a fabulous
Jackson Hole, Mississippi.
Is it okay?
A fabulous entrance for him today.
The entrance is
marching
great.
Band, Cadillac
police escort.
Police escort gets out of a Cadillac Escalade.
Everybody in the band has their face mask on around their chin, too, which is really funny. At that point, why wear it?
Well, I mean, they had to play, like, you know, trumpets.
Play. No, I know. They got to play. I get that. I understand that. But, like, just have it in your pocket or something. And then when you're done, put it on.
And so, yeah, Deion is getting the coach.
I think it's a great hire. I think it is an wonderful hire for Jackson State.
And they made a big deal of
the head coach.
The announcement today, which they should. I mean, Jackson State's never going to get more publicity than they do today.
Right.
By hiring Deion Sanders.
No, I love it. I think he's the perfect guy for a head coach. He's got the excitement. He's got the street cred. You know, everybody knows Deion Sanders. Everybody loves Deion Sanders. He can go out there, be the face of the organization, be the rah-rah guy, hire the right assistants around him, but still be the face of that program. I think it's a home run hire, man. I love it. I'm excited for them. I'm excited to watch. They play tonight?
Yeah. Jackson State plays tonight.
Yes. On
the deuce.
Good.
That's a plus for sure.
Or three. Oh, man, that's a good hire. I'm excited about that.
So he left NFL Network, right?
Yes. Is he still going to work for bar school?
And then he went to...
Bar
school.
He said bar school, which sounds tremendous.
Bar school.
And then now he's going to coach. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome, man. I love this. I think this hire is great.
Jackson State has... 106 players that have been drafted into the NFL. Yeah, 93 pro players.
I want to see Jerry Rice.
Walter Payton was from there, yeah.
Where did Jerry Rice go?
Mississippi Valley State.
Okay.
Tim Barnett, former Chief Tim Barnett, drafted 1991.
How many draft
State.
Picks did you say?
106 were drafted.
Wow.
93.
Played in the NFL.
It's more than Kansas has had.
Is it? Not a big Dana Stubblefield fan?
Not anymore.
Rashard Anderson, drafted by the Carolina Panthers, first round, 23rd overall in the 2000 draft, their last the last player selected.
That was the last player they had selected was the year 2000.
According to Pro Football Reference, at least.
Does Deion have a player, a college-age player?
A son?
I think he's getting close.
Yeah.
Dejon Sanders? Yeah,
yeah.
He does. I thought his son... Oh, no, wait. That was Snoop's son that decided to forego football to be like a...
So I wonder if he come play for
or something.
I wonder if he come play for dad.
I don't know.
Interesting.
I think it's
you think
fun.
They're trying to Michael Porter Jr. this
way? No, they didn't hire Deion just to get his kid.
And the fact that you don't even know really tells you maybe his kid's not even that good.
No, I want to say that he had a highly recruited.
I swear
son.
His kid
He's
was
prime
like,
time's kid. I'm assuming.
Yeah,
in out of Texas, right?
Yeah, I believe. But I thought he was going to like. South Florida or something
Florida
like that.
Florida FAU or something? I don't know. Florida International?
We got pieces kind of
I don't know.
In the right direction.
We'll just keep making up.
Fantastic hire. I'm in on that.
Yeah. All right.
I like that hire a lot.
From Deion to DJ, we chat with Derek Johnson each and every Monday at 7:30.
His son's committed to Florida Atlantic.
FAU. Derek Johnson, former Chiefs linebacker, loves games like yesterday. Or, find a way to win.
I know it's hard to sometimes we want our beloved Chiefs to just blow people out and, you know, not have a scrappy game or have some adversity. But I tell you what, yesterday they had a little bit of everything happen and they still found a way to win. And I tell you what, Pat Mahomes it's so many great things I can say about him with his arm and his physical ability. But I tell you what, his decision-making and just how valuable he is to the Chiefs organization is unparalleled. And it's exciting to watch.
As much as Pat's second half throwing the ball was great, I thought his two runs were as big.
I was going to say the exact same thing. The decision-making on the runs.
That third and 20
mm-hmm.
he picks up. And
the third and four where he gets it too.
Yeah, he needed four, got
five, or needed four, got three, needed three, got four, whatever it was, where he reaches his arm out. Like, that was the decision making to me. We've seen him make the decisions a lot, obviously, with his arm. But when he does it with his legs, I still think when Patrick Mahomes gets out there and runs, he always runs with a purpose and seemingly gets everything that he needs, whether it's 20 and he gets 21, whether it's three and he picks up four. And, you know, Andy said after the game yesterday, kind of goes back to that Detroit game about a year ago where he needed that big play, remember? And he looked at the ref and you know, made the play. And, you know, there was a couple of moments late in that game as well against the Lions last year where they needed plays to be made and Patrick Mahomes found out and found ways to make plays. And so, I mean, when you give this guy an opportunity and you give him a chance with the ball in his hand and the ability to go down and tie or win a game, odds are that Patrick Mahomes is going to lead his team down the field and put them in position to either tie or win that game, whatever is needed at that point in time. And he's done it now six times where they've trailed by 10 or more points. They've come back and won that football game, and that's an NFL record. It has never been done before.
Stop doing that, but... Stop digging 10-point deficits.
Yeah, you'd like to stay out of that area. Yeah. But if you feel like you're down 10 or more points, you got a guy that's going to give you a chance to
it's
win.
It's not going
to
shake you.
No.
Not
they don't
shake.
Care. It's all irrelevant to them.
So Derek Johnson, Dan Hughes joined us on the show today. Check it out, 610sports.com and via the radio.com app. Bill Moss coming up at 11. Andy Reid exclusively at noon. His weekly press conference coming up at 12. And then Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback, drops by the drive each and every Monday, 2:15. Be listening for that all coming up right here on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio. That'll do it for us. Cody and Gold, come your way next here on 610 Sports Radio.
We're done.
And
I got to go. Bye.
Have a great day, Bobby. Thank you. Go Royals.
Talk to you later.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.